Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.
It's March 16th.
No, it's the 15th.
Oh, it's the 15th. It's the Ides of March.
That's right.
A la Julius Caesar. And this is Inside Out, the Naked Truth, coming to you live from Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always
naked.
Ooh. And we're in Northern California in the Santa Cruz Mountains. And I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. And you all know that I have lived with this man a long time, so you only have to deal with him 1 hour a week. His craziness. Okay.
Don't touch that dial.
But we're welcoming you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition and what to make of it. Sprinkled with laughter, good music, and a few surprises. Always, when Errol is in the room, it's a surprise.
Well, I try and surprise myself. That's the whole point, isn't it? Our program is sponsored by Go Raw and Universe Spirit. Go Raw makes just delicious and quite healthy products, and Universe Spirit is at the vanguard of tackling the issues of climactic transition. And we'll be back to tell you more about both of those sponsors. But right now, the focus for tonight's program is you got to start somewhere. So they started us out on this cute little planet way out in space in the 20th century, if you're listening to this. Lucky us. Indoor plumbing, central heat, duct tape, and access to three of the most desired commodities throughout history. Fire, matches, salt, salt shaker, and water. Pipes. Oh, unless we forget charge cards. Plastic. Whew. We're pretty spoiled, but still with all of that, we fetch and complain. Never enough. What's wrong with them? Too expensive. And a favorite, why me? But as we said, you got to start somewhere and just be the place. This also goes for waking up, becoming conscious, realizing that we have a destiny beyond just the day-to-day dealing with life until we're dead. So, since we got to start somewhere, for many, the wake-up call is when we're confronted by the inexplicable, the overwhelming, the unendurable, or the amazing. Well, tonight we're going to take a look-see into the mystery and see what's up. Hey, you got to start somewhere.
So why not here and now, huh? As if you could start anywhere else or at any other time. And as Errol has so often said, in order to get to where you want to go, you have to start from where you are. Well, here we are, and here we begin. Every moment a new one. Every moment the sum and substance of everything that has come before. It's not a guess. It is. When I stand in front of you, eyeball to eyeball, the energy that passes between us is always new. Alive with possibilities. Every moment, every exchange, a gift, a surprise of riches to be shared.
Any minute now, my ship is coming in. I'll keep checking the horizon, and I'll stand on the bow feel the waves come crashing. Come crashing down, down, down on me. And you say, be still, my love. Open up your heart, let the light shine in. Don't you understand? I already have a plan. I'm waiting for my real life to begin. Suddenly, nothing happened. But in my dreams, I slew the dragon and down this beaten path, up this cobbled lane, walking in my own. Just be here now, forget about the past. Your mask is wearing thin. Just let me throw one more dice. I know that I can win. I'm waiting for my real life to begin.
Waiting for My Life to Begin by Colin Hay. My real life. So that's the question I guess we're here to look at. When do you start the real life? And what is the real life? How would you know? And isn't this the real life? The sensory life? The thinking life? The life we bounce around in with each other? What's real or not real about this life?
I think when people talk about waiting for their real life, maybe they were living on so many images that they lost track of what was real for them. And they're waiting for them to get back to center, so to speak. You know, they were whirling around an idea of unreality.
You know what just comes to mind is one of the difference between what I perceive as a real life and an unreal life is an unreal life is a reactive life. Whereas a real life is a creative life.
Oh, I like that. That's a nice definition. We can put that down as a definition, I'm sure.
Well, I don't know. It may or may not be true just because I said it.
I have another definition, though I like yours a whole lot. I mean, I'm not throwing yours out and replacing it with mine.
Okay.
But another one is real is that which is eternal, and unreal is that which is temporal or material.
You got to start somewhere.
That's what I would say, but that's pretty far out for a lot of people.
Well, you got to start somewhere.
That's true. You do. I mean, for most people, real is what you can sense. You can touch it, feel it, you know, hear it, taste it, see it.
Got it.
If you can't do that, then it's not real. So my idea of real is just the opposite of that.
Well, we've come a long way in our appreciating and understanding of what is real, haven't we, Professor? You want to step in? Okay, Professor Umbridge. I'm delighted, of course, to always be with you and to discuss what's real. And we've got to start somewhere, of course. Some people ask, well, where should I start? And I tell them, well, somewhere, anywhere. Anywhere you are, actually. But they want something more precise. They want something with bells and whistles and trumpets blaring and announcing from the heavens, this is where to begin. Well, that's the curious thing about existence. It offers you the opportunity to start again, to start somewhere, anywhere, anytime. they kind of all three go together. The somewhere, sometime, anywhere, anytime. It was four, actually. But what does that mean? You've got to start somewhere. You've got to start, well, for the benefit of the most and the maximization of the all, if that is your criteria, you have to start the process of recognizing who you really are and what part you play in the vast panoply of existence that's just happening all over. And all of it is saying to itself when it raises the question, where do I start? And they say the same thing over and over, which is, we got to start somewhere, so why not now? That would be my recommendation to you.
I would say so, Professor Umbridge, but can you start anywhere else?
Oh, you mean it would always be now, of course.
Of course.
So that's the end of the program, I suppose. Bye! Now is the answer, and I will be here in the next 25 minutes, and then I think it takes a break, a commercial break, to now.
What happens is we think the now is really about time, and I think that the now is about connection.
Let me jump in here. Thanks, Professor. Oh, you're quite welcome. Always happy to be here. All about connection. It's in that connection where the now is discovered. Could that be the revelation for this evening, Rochelle?
Well, it could be if you want it to be a revelation.
Oh.
I like revelations. Revelations go along with epiphanies. Yeah, they're fun.
Revelations are good. We need more revelations. One of the reasons I've been so enamored, I should say, but not really. I've appreciated the Urantia book so much because the Urantia book, I don't know if we've ever said this, and we quote from it a lot, claims to be a revelation, meaning it was information passed into our conscious realm from personalities and beings who don't generally live here. They live on another planet, but it also has running water and central heating.
But here we are. You got to start somewhere.
These beings are suggesting that, well, I don't know if they would say it like this, get our shit together or get our act together or wake up to our cosmic citizenship. That's a phrase they use. Recognize that we are cosmic citizens. So that means that we have a greater understanding of where we actually live, so that when we go back to, you got to start somewhere. The where can exist anywhere in the vast cosmos. But you happen to be here, right, Rabbi? That's right. You're here, and so why not start here? I had a fellow come up to me the other day. He says, Rabbi, he says, I'm going around in circles. I worry my capital off. I don't know what I'm doing. It's like I'm so crazy. And have you seen, like, the election and what's going on there? And the whole world is coming apart, Rabbi. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm becoming a mishugana. All right, I says to him, it's okay, relax. Let's start anew. He says, anew? I said, you got to start somewhere, so let's start anew. It's a great place to start, because when you start from anew, then everything has a brand new chance to be something else for you that you wouldn't have thought of if you didn't start anew, if you kept trying to start the old. You see how it works? So start anew by going, what's in this moment that I've never seen or noticed before? Look around the room. Look and see. Look in the mirror and see what's there. But pretend like you've never seen it before and you look at it anew. And that's where you can start, because you got to start somewhere.
I had an experience the first time I went to Europe, and I was there a few months, and I came back to this country, and I realized that my time in Europe was brand new. I had never been there before. And so everything I saw was surprising and wonderful. And then when I came back here, I thought, well, why can't I employ the same mechanism in my brain to see where I have lived as if I'd never been there before? It was all brand new. And I did that for a few months. And then, of course, it fades because you get used to living in repetitive moments that you don't question that there are new moments in even repetition. Does that make sense?
Indeed, it makes a lot of sense.
But it was so thrilling the first few months I was back in this country to walk on streets I'd walked on before and see them like I'd never been there before. And I did that and I had a wonderful time. And I think, well, I could do that every day. It's just a matter of being conscious and practicing it, right?
Well, you got to start somewhere.
You do. Might as well start there, right?
Right, start there, being conscious and practicing it. That's the key to it. You have to practice because essentially you're retraining your mind. It reminds me of that passage from the Bible. When I was out on the road doing hypnotherapy for people to quit smoking and lose weight or lose smoking and quit weight, some of them came for both.
I don't think I ever would frame it like that, but that's quite funny.
Especially when I hit the Bible Belt, I would start off with this quote from the Bible because it kind of set the stage for having a new mind. The quote was, "Be not conformed to the ways of the world, but let your nature be transformed by the renewal of your mind, and then you will see what is true, beautiful, and good." Why are you laughing?
Well, because I'm so aware that people who quote the Bible do just the opposite.
Wait a minute. That's an unfair generalization.
It is. A lot of people who quote the Bible do just the opposite. That doesn't mean that there are people who quote the Bible who don't do that.
Here's to that.
It's a wonderful thing to do. It seems to me that you'd see every word in something that you read in a different way. That it wasn't about encapsulating you with those words, but freeing you with those words.
Oh, sure, and it's his Father O'Malley here, and he's talking about the Bible, and people that we see in the Bible, and some people's their whole life is wrapped up in the Word. They forget that the Word was made flesh. They think the Word was made print. It is not really like that. It's like the letter of the law versus the spirit of it. Indeed, the great Yeshua, our forebear, he tried to demonstrate and teach people that it's in how you live. And as you said, Rochelle, which I thought was right on the mark, was how you're connecting. Basically, how you're connecting with life there. It pretty much boils down to that. And as I recall, he said, "O ye, albeit your connectors, be sure and connect today." I think that's how he'd said it. That was my liberal translation.
Liberal, Father O'Malley. That's taking a big step. But you got to start somewhere.
Exactly, dear. But when you think about that statement you made there about the renewal of your mind, oh, my goodness there, that's a big part of it, isn't it? Because the mind can kind of plod along and get habituated to old and old. So much so that the mind can start smelling because it's carrying so much of the old, undigested past along. For that's what forgiveness is. The difference between unforgiveness is the past just goes undigested. And so it starts like any other undigested commodity there. It starts to stink up, and it'll stink up your life if you let it, holding on to that stinky past. And so you'd have to learn to let it go. So if you're looking for some place to start, because you know you got to start somewhere, you can start by cleaning up all the past that's causing a smell. You'll know it. It'll make you feel like, well, something really smelly. There you have it.
Okay, Father. I want to add to this a little bit. I feel that when we really are connecting to the moment that we're in, and we are, as I said in the beginning, we're the sum and substance of everything that's gone before. It's the dwelling on the past and creating suffering around it and creating like regret around it. oh, why didn't I? And I should have, and I could have. Dissecting the past into little tiny things that just choke you when you breathe it in. That's the thing that bogs us down. Because if I'm right here with the sum and substance of the past in front of me, what happens in the next second when I don't resist what has happened before makes what comes up brand new. And I've learned from that past in that sense. I've learned from it and don't have to repeat the things that caused me damage before.
Well, that's pretty sharp learning on your part, darling.
Well, you know, I do my best. Well, because I have to start somewhere.
Exactly. You got to start somewhere. And speaking of that, Chris Bauer is going to sing about Got to Start Somewhere.
Start. Hey, the Mona Lisa score and more side. Write a book like Ernest Hemingway. Learn to play guitar like Mike Knopfler. Sing a Bond theme tune someday. You got a fire inside your soul. You want to make it. Well, you got to start somewhere. Yeah.
I guess he knows you have to start somewhere too. I was thinking about this weekend. We make such a big deal out of it, and I think it's funny that we lose an hour. And you can lose an hour, and then in the fall you gain an hour. I mean, you get back the hour you lost. So you don't really lose it. You sort of park it.
You put it in escrow.
That's right. You move it someplace. Oh. Keep it in a drawer and take it out.
They've worked out a deal now. You put the hour in a holding account, and it builds up interest. In the fall, you get it back with interest. You can get 5 or 10% interest back. I've known people to get like 65 minutes. I had one guy, 68 and a half minutes he got back from this.
You don't know anybody like that. You made all that up. That's not true.
Really?
But you got to start somewhere.
Well, that's the whole point.
Make up a story.
Is making it up. What I realize is I get to make all of it up my whole life. I had an interesting experience today. I started off the day very low energy. And I have to be very careful. When my body's in low energy, I've learned this about myself. My mind can run along right along with it. This dutiful little obedient, okay, you want to suffer? I'm going to suffer too. Like a little kid. But I've learned that. And so just be patient, don't resist it, wait it out. just get to work. And fortunately, I have a great job here at Lupin. I get to clean the yurts. Wow. And today I took out the carpet sweeper and I got in all the corners. That was like amazing. Now, that's not an easy thing to do in a yurt because there are no corners in a yurt. The yurts are round.
Don't have corners.
It's a very different experience when you spend the night living in a place where there are no corners. Like right now, we live in a place where there's lots of corners. We stayed in that yurt for a while when we first moved here, and there were no corners. And one of the things I want to say, I have a theory. Oh, just a minute. Professor Schnitzel, what do you have to say about it?
Now you're talking about geometry. This is something, as a scientist, I'm very involved in. Yeah, this is Professor Schnitzel. And you have looked at these corners. And in the corners, dust collects. So that's why you have to go get it. And it's easier for the thing from the past you were talking about to hide in the corners and hiding underneath the dust. And it wears dust, the past, by the way, as your clothing attire. That's how you know it. You feel very dusty. Anyway, that's another subject, like dressing. Then there's the circle, and you walk around in the circle. I want to introduce you to a concept. Circular simultaneity. Yeah. What does that mean? That everything is happening right now, circling around itself, and it's all happening right now because you've got to start somewhere.
I had to say something, Professor. The corner in a round space happens when there is a side. In other words, the round space has a bottom, and then there's sides to the round space. Well, where the bottom hits the side is the corner.
That's very good. Telling people where to find a corner.
So you know where the dust is.
So you can find the dust, so you can clean it out and be dust empty. No, not very dust full. But the other thing I wanted to say about the corners, when you find yourself backed into a corner, now this is a different thing there. This is when it's good time to turn around and face front to the corner, and then you won't feel backed into a corner because you'll be facing it front. It's a different thing. It's a way of changing your experience of reality, and as stupid as it may sound, you've got to start somewhere.
You know, Professor, I think you spend too much time with Errol making all that silly stuff.
Well, I do spend an inordinate amount of time with him. I will admit that. Well, yeah, we do kind of hang a bit, Professor, but that's how we got to know each other so well. Oh, yeah, I know you're inside and out. Well, don't know the outside so much, but the inside is very busy all the time, but in a busy day. I notice that. I'm watching you, Errol, when I'm with you. You're always forgetting things. Well, I do kind of, yeah. Why? You're forgetting them because you're off somewhere else, because you think you got to start somewhere, and you're rushing off to the somewhere to get started.
Huh. I don't think I ever realized that the way you realized it, Professor.
That's interesting. It's good to be seen.
You said something before we were talking about makeup. This is for you, Errol. And I said, how do you make up that which is? You can't make up a story out of that which is because it already is, and the story is right there. You don't have to make it up. All you have to do is open your eyes and see it.
And yet, we're making up phenomena all the time. So there is a making up to it, apparently, because we have all these things.
So is that the same as creating, making up? Is making up something the same as creating something? Probably is, isn't it? Or is it?
If I could just jump in here, this is Bonnie, and because I've been thinking about this, is making up the same as creating? Because I got up the other day and I made up a story that I was going to go out and make $1 million. Now, I didn't create it, but I made up a good story to myself, and it lasted, right to the brushing of my teeth and putting my pants on. And then, of course, I had to go and face reality. But as I looked at reality that I was facing, I was going to work there, and I'm walking down the street and saw all these people, and I said to myself, are we all making this up here amongst us? Are we as having like an agreement that this is the way it is? Or does it exist as it is, whether we're making it up or creating it or not? And I stopped somebody on the street and I says, hey, buddy, can I talk to you? I asked him, are we making it up? You're creative. He did run away at that point, but
I wonder why. If you'd asked him the time, he wouldn't have run away.
I yelled at him when he was running, and I said, is that an answer? Which one is that? So the next time, I ran up to this lady. I said, can I ask you a question? She looked kind of very haughty and like, what do you want? And I said, well, I wanted to know if you're making up your life experience or you're creating it. And she fainted. I don't know. She fainted right there and then, because I don't think she'd been confronted by it. But when she's going to wake up, she's going to realize the opportunity has come around again and that you got to start somewhere. So it could start with her waking up out of the faint and seeing me there for her.
You are so making all this funny.
Well, okay. That's all right. That definitely gives us something to think about.
Or not.
But it does go back to, what can I say? You got to start somewhere.
Pissing out the hole in my ear. Graduating less than a year. Pack up my bags and get the hell out of here. My mind needs a whole new place. A fresh performance space. Pull out a map and pick a state. Cause I need a new state of mind. California sure sounds nice. Damn, I don't even have to think twice. Sitting on the beach late at night. Thinking on the W of the Hollywood sign. Come with me and run away. We can't live in yesterday. I'm stepping up to the plate. I'm ready to play. Say goodbye to me. Say goodbye to who I used to be. Say goodbye to me. Say goodbye to who I used to be. There's no more room in my ear. Graduated last year. Packed up my bags and they're still sitting right here. My mind doesn't need a whole new place. Just some time to sit and erase all the damage that's already been done. California still sounds nice, but I have to sit and think twice. East Coast, West Coast, I'm still the same inside. Come with me and run away. We can't hide in yesterday. Day by day I'll find my place. I'm ready to run this race. Say goodbye to me. Say goodbye to who I used to be. Say goodbye to me. Say goodbye to who I used to be. Well, you gotta start somewhere, and there's no better time than now. And you gotta start somehow, so let's figure it out.
And that was Sarah Newman singing about got to start somewhere. Wasn't that something? She's starting off in life and leave the past behind, make up a new you. That's the blessing that we're offered. You can make up a new you anytime you want. You are not stuck with the old you. And I like what she sang in this, that she could leave that me behind and step into a new me. And the only thing that binds us, the many things that bind us, but it's really only one thing, going back to what we were talking about before, are what we haven't forgiven from the past that we still drag with us and use it to interface as a filter, a screen, a veil between us and what's so. I think that's why the image of the veil has been such a popular spiritual image, that we have this veil that is concocted by a combination of our perceptions, our belief about our perceptions based upon who we think we are, etc.
And the Course in Miracles uses that line, who we think we are. And that creates the illusion. When you grow up in a family, like most of us do, of course, you know, with daddy and mommy, and they bring all their images of who you are the minute you're born and lay them on you. And it's a lucky child that is able to kind of squirt out from that and find their who they are without those images that have been laid on them. Some of us never do. We never find out who we are through our trials and errors, but we walk around with our parents' images of who we're supposed to be. And then we come up with who we think we are. That doesn't serve us if we're not that person. We start to get very upset and make strange errors of judgment because we're not coming from an authentic self. We're coming from a made-up self.
Well, that as a given is that you're actually even considering yourself as different than you might have thought. Because my perception of most people's lives is it's just pretty much caught up in the external and reacting thereto and et cetera. So it's a big step to actually stop and question and inquire about your reality. What was that old statement that said, a life unexamined is a life not well lived, or words to that effect?
And that's a place you got to start from if you're going to move forward.
Yeah.
You just do until you see where you are. Like I said, in order to get to where you want to go, you have to start from where you are. So you have to sit in that space of where you are and who you are in that space. Does that further? I like that expression. Does it further? Does it move you forward in the sense, or does it imprison you? That's what images do. They're like bars on a prison.
But you talked about who we are. Well, you know who we are. This is inside out, the naked truth with yours as truly as I can get it to be. It's not always cooperative. Sometimes it wants to default into some kind of lying mode because it gets scared that it can't have what it wants and lets it twist the truth around to make it look more presentable.
I don't experience you do that a whole lot. You may be hiding it from me.
Well, that would be the next step. First we have the lie, then we have the hiding of the lie. And then right on that is the shame about hiding the lie about and the lying itself. And then, of course, to keep the shame going, we have the fear that's underneath the entire edifice.
If you told the truth, you would not be accepted.
That's right. But I'm learning to catch it and to recognize that it is fear and not to be deceived into thinking it's about the issue. Remember that wonderful statement we often use in our relationship, and it's made a world of difference. You've improved so much.
Well, you have to start somewhere.
But that statement is, you're never upset for the reason you think.
Well, then I have to confess this. Sometimes when I'm having an upset and you say that to me, I want to kill you.
You got to start somewhere.
Just let me have my upset. I'm not interested where it started. Is it authentic? Is it not authentic? I don't care. I'm having an upset and I want to have it until it's ended. Then you can tell me that.
The other thing about when their upset is forthcoming is that it's not a good time to make light of it. You're a jokester? No, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
What's that funny scene from Friends where one of them is trying to woo a girl and the others are watching and they're kind of saying, no, don't do that.
Don't say that. Don't bring that up.
No, that's not a good thing.
Those are the buttons that get pushed. If people could discern their own buttons and say, when they enter into a relationship, these are my buttons. You can push them and you'll get this response, or you can respect them and not push them.
We talked about buttons last week, but we didn't tell you how to order them.
The thing is, you come with them. You don't have to order
them. Well, no, you can order extras, and you can order complimentary buttons that go with the other buttons. For example, if you've got a button that says, you'll say something that makes me feel inadequate, I've got an accompanying button that when the other one gets pushed, it goes into, I'm having a shame attack, and you'll have a shame attack right there and then. For those of you who don't know what a shame attack is, it's when you so much want to hide that you veritably go into an internal spasm because you're so embarrassed about what you think you've done that is wrong or bad or ugly, unacceptable or sinful, and that you've done it. It drives you nuts in that moment. So you have a shame attack. And I've had some shame attacks. And let me tell you, on the scale of 1 to 10, I'd put them somewhere between 8 and 6, easy.
In terms of what?
That's the part I haven't figured out. I don't know the criteria, but I've got the numbers.
In terms of discomfort, I would say. Usually follows, because it's so uncomfortable, is that you go into a blame attack. If you're lucky enough, you have somebody around you that you can blame. In fact, I think I read a joke once about marriage is having somebody to blame in your life.
That's why you get married.
So you can get rid of your shame by blaming them. I think that's funny. Go ahead. Make my day.
I want to talk a little bit about our sponsors, because we're so grateful for them. And Go Raw, I hope you've tried it, you regular listener, you, and treated yourself and your body.
Go Raw is uncooked food. It is raw food. Past a certain temperature is when we call something cooked. It's not ever past that temperature. Is that true or not?
Taking me into an area of knowledge that I don't have.
Oh, well, you got to start somewhere.
A great place to start is ignorance.
It's a great place to start.
Really, if you think about it, mm-hmm. Well, you don't want to think about it because you're ignorant. Like if you start off by going, I really don't know what it's all about. Ignorance. In many ways, I would say ignorance is one of the primo places to start as far as places you got to start somewhere. Ignorance is a good one.
I totally agree with that. What did somebody say once? The beginning of knowledge is the realization that you don't know anything.
I don't know that, but I did hear that the beginning of wisdom is the firm grasp of the obvious.
Is that exactly what we're talking about?
No.
I'm not as good at things as I used to be when I was young. Or maybe it just feels that way because I've lost my mind. I remember times when friends and I made music till the morning sun. But now it seems that friends like that are very hard to find. Still, you've got to start somewhere. You've got to start. You've got to start somewhere. You've got to start. I always start each thing I do with a clear idea of how I'll fail. It doesn't help me get it done, but it feeds my hungry fears. And the worries nibble at my bones as I agonize on each detail. Don't expect to pull it off now after all these years. Still, you've got to start somewhere. You've got to start. Still, you've got to start somewhere. You've got to start. To start somewhere, you've got to start. Still, you've got to start somewhere, you've got to start. See it through. I don't
my touch, or if I never had it, but it doesn't really matter, you just do what you can do. Cause you've got to start somewhere, you've got to start. You've got to start somewhere, you've got to start.
That's You've Got to Start Somewhere by Jonathan Field. There's this sense in most of these songs of people wanting to break away from the past.
Move from there to here.
Move from there to where?
Here. It's move a, from there to here.
It's a layover. You start from there, you lay over in where, for however long it gets you when you're starting somewhere, and then you hop the next plane or bus to here. That's the one that your ticket is your willingness to see everything brand new.
Wow.
I know, it took a while to get that out. It was an effort.
You know what's fun when we have these conversations is that you put up a picture, and I look at the picture and I go, I cannot in any way refute that picture. But it also gives me an opportunity to put up a picture. And it's like we're circling a tree, and you telling me what you see where you are, and I'm telling you where I see where I am, and yet we're looking at the same tree. I find that fascinating. To me, that's wonderful. And that's who you are. What you see in that tree is part of who you are.
You think it's the same tree, though, huh?
I do think it's the same tree. I found that the most interesting relationships I have, relationships that have no acrimony in them at all, have to do with making instant translations. That you understand what the person is saying, but they're not using your language. And you translate it into your language, and you realize you're talking the same thing. When we get lost in semantics, the use of language that seems foreign, and we forget what we're really talking about, that's when we have problems communicating.
Speaking of communicating, there's a lot of interesting communication going on today. Today is Super Tuesday. That means states in the United States that have a lot of delegates, like Ohio and Florida and North Carolina and whatever, and people voted. And the last I looked, Hillary Clinton was definitely winning over Bernie Sanders. But Bernie Sanders is bringing a new perspective and is challenging us. He may or may not go on to the nomination or to win this election, but you got to start somewhere. And with that in mind, our son, Lev, and his wife, Stacy, put together this video, which you really got to go see, but we're going to give you a little audio taste of a song they dedicated to the Bernie Sanders election attempt called Feel the Burn.
Hypocrisy. passion. Don't relate to hate.
Feel the burn, feel the possibility. That was Lev Strider. And if you'd like to see it on YouTube, the visuals are fabulous. It's really well done. Let me hear from you and I'll send you the link. estrider@gmail.com. And you can always check out our website, which is thelaughingheart.org. I just posted a new blog on my blog site. I can send you that too instead of trying to remember. But it's called Inside Out with errol.blogspot.com. I can't even remember that. That took me a while to just remember that. But it's called Inside Out with errol.blogspot.com. Let me hear from you. What I addressed in this particular blog, I think you'll find very relevant to what's going on here. And it's the whole issue of we tend to react to effects and then base our strategies accordingly rather than attacking, so to speak, the cause. I encourage you to read it and get involved, especially if you feel strongly about changing anything. And sometimes those feelings of being strong about changing anything, well, that's always a good place to start.
I'm very aware that you can't change anything until you change yourself, because you see something a certain way, and if you don't see it differently, it can't change. So you have to change in terms of what you see. Also, I was trying to say something when you're talking about Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. I heard something today which I thought was interesting, that Bernie Sanders has made Hillary Clinton a better candidate.
On that note, and thank you, Universe Spirit and Go Raw, and we need to sign off for the night. This is Inside Out, and we'll be back next week. Speaking of, we got to start somewhere. What do we need to remember, Rochelle?
Resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
You got to start somewhere.
Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on job one for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.